Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Okay, we are back. This is episode 191. We're closing in on 200. Man, it's pretty crazy. We've done almost 200 podcasting episodes. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, pretty sweet.
It is. Ooh, man, what have you been up to, Tony? It's been busy here in Indianapolis. We've had our first fall weekend. It's the weather was like high of 60, 65, low in the low 40s. It's, you know, definitely getting chilly out there.
Our weather's been great. Like, it gets down into the like 60s at night, and during the day it's like in the 80s, and it, I think it's going to be like this for quite a while. So it's kind of my favorite time of year here in Mississippi.
No, nice.
It's just that every 15 to 20 minutes, we have to bag leaves or pine needles throughout the day. It's about every 15 minutes. It's one, you know, 40-gallon bag. That's really the only, the downside. Like we literally last weekend, we filled one huge bag and then a couple trash cans. And while we were leaving the yard, the wind started to blow and we looked around and it was like we'd never done it. So, yeah. But it's okay. Like, everyone says that you can use the pine needles for mulch. So we're going to try that a little bit this year.
That's good. And yeah,
this week I'm going to take the lawnmower back there and mulch it.
Sweet.
Yeah, but no, it's nice. Like, I like it a lot. And I like to sit outside and read in the evenings. And it's a good place to do that.
Good. Yeah, nice. Well, Tony, I was thinking to myself, I've got this Podtrac B4, right? And it's got this this tiny little soundboard on there. And so I've got our intro on there, but I got three extra pads. Now, last week, I played a clip from Squid Game. But I was like, well, what can I want to use these things. These things are pretty cool. So I've got one. So in case I don't know what you're talking about, you're going to hear this.
What's my talking about?
That's good, Patrick.
It's pretty good. So that is a clip from Kyle Dunnigan. He's a stand-up comedian. He does impersonations. And that's part of one of his Joe Biden bits there. It's pretty funny. He makes fun. He does impersonations of everybody. So he's pretty funny. He's not for everybody, but his stuff is pretty hilarious. I think really funny things. So, you know,
what's my talking about?
That's good.
What's my talking about? So if you got some clips that you want me to put on the Podtrac, just send them my way. I'll get them on there, man.
How many can you hold?
It can hold a ton. It can hold hundreds, but I only can play four at a time.
Okay,
I see. But I can load up. They just store in the root of the SD card. That's where it knows to find it, and there I can just assign them and then we get great things like, you know.
What's my talking about?
Just awesome, just the best. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Send them my way. And if people out there listening, if you got some funny clips that you want us to play, just send them to us. Reach out to us. We'll get it on there. You'll be like not famous at all for our like 100 people that listen to the show. That's all right. We have fun. Anyway, we have a good agenda. We're going to briefly talk about Apple's event on Monday, tomorrow. Actually, it'll be today because that's when I'm going to post the podcast tomorrow. Are you done with Chromebooks? We can definitely talk about that.
Maybe. I don't know how I'm going to get off of them, but I'm starting to get annoyed. I'll talk to you about that when it's time.
Yeah, okay. You've got a Windows 10 little rant on there. Yeah. And you got a follow-up of the dystopian school.
That's right. I'm going to have like regular, like in my mind, Patrick, I work at this school. Okay. So it's not just a follow-up. Basically every couple weeks, I'm just going to give everybody an update of what's going on at the dystopian school that I work at. You know, I work for Kevin Sorbo.
Sir Hercules Kevin Sorbo, yeah.
And he's doing a lot of conferences right now, so we're just kind of on our own.
Well, he's head of school. He gets, you know, he gets kind of busy.
Making decisions. So, yeah, I just want to give everybody an update of what's going on.
I like it. I like it. I just want to briefly talk about the Google Forms and Form Ranger post that I did, I think, 2 weeks ago. I've got a follow-up to that post coming out on Wednesday where I get into the nitty-gritty details of step-by-step of what you need to do to make a Google Form, get it ready for Form Ranger, the functions you have to enter into the spreadsheet, where you put those functions in the spreadsheet, how you – just everything. It's kind of a long post. There's videos, but it's very good. It's well worth your time reading if you're interested in how to do that. Because as great as New Vision's Cloud Lab is, they're a little skimpy on the instructions at times. They kind of give you kind of an idea and then push you in the right direction. So hopefully this helps some people out, getting them on the way. Oh, and they have an add-on called Form Limiter, which sounds what you would want to use, but you don't want to use that because it puts the same limit on every workshop or every whatever signing up for. So it doesn't let you say, oh, I want 15 for this one, I want 12 for this one, I want 22 for this one. You can't do that with Form Limiter. So anyway, but check it out. It's a good post. It's a long post, but it is worth your time. So check that out Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time. So,
and how do I sound tonight? Because I put on this like noise canceling thing in Skype. Is it bad?
No, you sound pretty good. You sound pretty good. And I had more microphone problems, as you know, Tony. And I believe it's because of that, the noise canceling features in Skype. Because my computer has it built in, has their own noise canceling. I don't know why Asus did that. It's kind of.
I'm back to my just little Zoom, like Q4 camera mic setup. I like it because it's actually not as bulky as the Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean the Yeti's great, but like it just like it basically is like right in front of my face, and I can't see the screen. So
yeah,
I like the Zoom tech if it still sounds all right.
Yeah, and another problem with the Yeti is that it's for people who've never used it. It is way bigger than what you expect a USB microphone to be. Like it's almost a foot tall on the stand, and it's heavy.
It is heavy.
So if you want to put an arm mount, you can't get like a cheap one from Amazon. You actually have to get a pretty strong arm mount to actually hold it, or it's just going to pull the arm straight down. So
the arm mounts are a little expensive. I have one arm mount that we use at school for like a Yeti, and they're pretty expensive.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yes, they are. But no, I think you sound good. I think you're sounding good. I think you.
Sweet.
Let's move on to our next topic here. It's Apple's event. So it's on a Monday, which is unusual for Apple. They usually do it on Tuesday. I guess Tim Apple is getting a massage or something on Tuesday. He can't be available. He can't be bothered to change
it. Tim Cook?
No, yeah.
You said Tim Apple.
He's Tim Apple to me. I call him Tim Apple.
That's a good name. That's a good name.
he looks like a Tim Apple. He should legally change his name from Cook to Apple. He should. He should just do it. He is
that
Tim Apple.
That would be pretty funny.
That would be, yeah. Everybody would love it. Everybody would love it if he did.
What if everyone at Apple changed their last name to Apple?
Apple just might mandate it, you know?
Everyone must be Apple.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. But they have an event coming out, and it's going to be, everybody's thinking it's going to be new MacBook Pros. MacBook Pro laptops with an updated M1 chip. Some people are calling it the M1X. Some people call it the M2. I don't know. We'll find out.
Do they need to update it because they are trying to block everyone from running two monitors?
No. What they need to do is they need to update it because the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro have the exact same chipset. And so they are technically just as powerful as one another. And one is $300. It's like, hilarious.
We've been buying the Airs. I'm like, we're just buying as many as we can. Because we noticed that too. And This double monitor thing is annoying. So
it's very annoying.
I kind of understand it. If you don't know, Apple's making it harder to run two separate monitors off your laptop without adding some, like, you can buy a piece of hardware, like a little dock, and make it work. But I think the theory is sound in some ways. Like, first off, you should know that you can AirPlay to an AirPlay monitor and wire into another monitor and use both of them, like, at the same time and extend your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
I do it actually all the time. So you actually can have a wireless monitor now, and a lot of monitors come with AirPlay built in.
Oh, that's so pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I think the reason it makes sense is that actually the monitors you buy now, you can buy ultra-wide monitors.
Yeah.
And their resolution is the same as having two older type of monitors side by side. So in Apple's mind, you really just need to take your two windows and share, you just double click each one, right? And it'll fit into the window.
Mm-hmm.
So you just use one big monitor instead of two separate ones. And you just kind of dock, you can dock your laptop underneath it. If it's an Apple, you can close the lid and run it. Or what I actually do is I put my laptop underneath it. So I have my email on the laptop screen, and then I'm working on the ultra wide, and it's totally fine. It works really great.
That's pretty cool.
But some people still want the, like, they want to look left and right like a stockbroker.
You know.
And then I use the multiple desktops, like even on Windows 10. I've got 3 to 4 desktops. I started doing that years ago when I was, like, using Linux most of the time before Apple or anybody even had that feature.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of that. But, yeah, it's kind of freaking people out. They'll buy, like, a laptop. They have two monitors. They get two USB-Cs, connect it, and only one monitor lights up.
Yep. Yep. And for those docks that you're talking about, those are usually powered docks. They're not like in a, they're, like a dongle.
They are powered. They are powered.
And
that's
they're probably going to cost you a minimum $150, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, if you're lucky, you can find some that kind of, like, get super hot that you wouldn't want to touch for like $80.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want a good one, and they come with software, you have to install software because it kind of hacks the limitation that Apple's installed to detect two monitors.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is all kind of annoying, but Patrick's right. Like, there's no reason to buy anything but a MacBook Air of right now.
Yeah.
Like, you just, unless you want more ports, like on the side.
Yeah. And, and then you're getting the more expensive MacBook Pro. I think the entry level one still only has two ports, just like the MacBook Air. So they're going to fix that tomorrow. They're going to unveil a new, more powerful MacBook Pro. And hopefully they get rid of the stupid touch bar, because that thing is ridiculously dumb.
I don't know. I think they're going to double down on the touch bar.
Man,
I hope you're right.
But
I don't like it.
But here's what I want to see. Here's what I want to see, Tony. And this is wishful thinking. This is just me being selfish, you know. I want them to unveil an 11.6-inch MacBook Air running an M1 processor, and then sell it with 64 gigabytes of storage, and sell it for $599.
That would be nice.
That's the education price.
It's like a cloud focused.
Yeah.
For storage.
Yes. Yep. That's what I would hope. I would consider us getting off of Chromebooks even, because for people out there who don't have a Mac laptop, is that they are really well built for the most part.
Yeah, they are.
And as long as, you know, there's nothing majorly wrong with it, they'll run for 7, 8. 9, they just run for a very long time before they die. I think we have a 2013 MacBook Air floating around our house that we use every now and again, and it still works. You know, it's noticeably slower, but than what we have, but it works just fine. So
yeah,
That's what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see this 12 inch MacBook Air at a very affordable price, which I'm not going to get. We're not going to get that. Tim Apple's not going to allow it.
Well, we'll see, Patrick. I'm sure you'll be on top of it.
Is there anything you want to see from Apple tomorrow? Is there something special that you would...
I want to see another iPad, Patrick. I want it to be a quarter of an inch bigger than the current biggest iPad. I want it to have a pen that's not compatible with the pen I already own. And I want it to have a keyboard that connects with a protocol that's not Bluetooth or anything else that I have. It'll be proprietary. And I want the keyboard to not be able to charge when the iPad is charging. So these are the things that I will see. So we'll see, what they deliver. We'll see.
Yeah.
So just stay on top of it, and then that way you can report, because that's your beat, Patrick. You're the reviewer. I really just complain and try to make jokes. I don't. And occasionally work in, I try to work in content about people that we know. So.
You do a good job of that. You definitely do. Yeah. You do a really good job of that. So. But anyway, Tony, it's number 5 here on the agenda. It says, is Tony done with Chromebooks now?
Yeah. So, okay. So this is,
I got to hear this story here.
Let me preface this. We, at my school, I have inherited programs, meaning I didn't show up and start them. They were running. So the Chromebook program at the middle school is a BYOD program, so the kids bring their own Chromebooks. And because they own their Chromebooks, we don't have a management license for them. So we use GoGuardian, and that works pretty well. But over the last year, and the parents all, for the most part, are using the app, but over the last year, there's been a few annoying things that have popped up. Not really the last year. It's really just over the last, few months. So first off, I can't add GoGuardian parents until the student logs into the Chromebook once with their school email. They have to log in once. Well, the problem with that is when you get a new student or a group of new students, if you don't have it all set up to where you're meeting them to confirm they're logging in, you don't even know when to onboard their parents. It's just constantly okay, I'll try every Friday and make until they've logged in. Which isn't huge, but it's kind of annoying. I'd rather just finish the work, add a new kid, add the GoGuardian, add the parent, move on. So that's one thing. The other thing is the kids so they're allowed to have their personal email on the Chromebook so that they can log in as themselves or at school. Now, this isn't a big problem usually because at school, when they log in, if they're not logged in as their school account, they can't use any of the stuff the teacher's giving them. Okay. So they're forced to log in with their school account. But they have been able to log in with their school account and then within Chrome open another session with their personal account.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so
I wrote about this. I wrote about
this. Turn it off.
Okay.
That's good. If it doesn't apply, you can power wash the machine when they log in within the same session. And then a kid complained to somebody at the school and said that they really needed to access their personal email while at school because they don't have cell phones, because middle school kids don't have cell phones, and it's how their parents communicate with them. And for me, I'm like, why is your parent communicating with you during school day?
Yeah,
your parents should call the school. The school should come get you if there's an emergency. If not, I don't understand. It can be complicated.
Yeah.
But the point is that now, so the middle school was like, what do we do? I'm like, well, if you want the kids to not mess around, then we've got to leave it like this. If we put it the other way, then we really can't manage their session.
That's right. Yeah.
They can't get away with stuff browsing. But they can sit there in their personal mail and message one another all day and do stupid stuff in their personal mail. And it's very hard to catch that. But also, our teachers have been trying out GoGuardian Teacher, and they really, really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was working. But then they were like, sometimes the kids are in GoGuardian Teacher and their personal mail at the same time. So if we wanted to keep them from cheating on exams, if we wanted to use it for exam proctoring, it won't work unless we keep this block on, which blocks their personal account.
Yep.
So the problem is that, like, every time we make a move, it's just not satisfying to anybody. And all the software that we actually need to achieve all the goals that people have is readily available on Apple or Windows 10. Like, we're just readily available, but not really on the Chromebook. So that's very annoying. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a cheaper, lighter weight system, but what are we getting out of it? I mean, we're paying, you know, the GoGuardian fees.
Yep.
And, but or how much, you know, bang for our buck are we really getting out of that? And for the same money, like, I could put like Cisco Umbrella client on every kid's Windows or Apple and block them from uninstalling it. And I believe going forward, if they do uninstall it, it would kick them off the network. And then that will log every single thing that they do, like GoGuardian does, and even their, you know, their personal stuff. Like, it just wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
So I keep, and that for about the same price. Like, I can't afford to do the Umbrella and the GoGuardian on at the same time, one or the other. They're basically almost the same price, really. So. So that's just annoying. It's kind of like, all right, we've got the security running, but it's not really that great. The kids are still finding ways to get around it. If we limit it, which we can, they complain. Our other option, and that's why I put $33.99, is to pay the new price for the management license,
yep.
$33.99 times, like, I don't know, $350.
Yeah.
To further lock down the Chromebooks. But I just have an issue with that because the families purchase them. They own them. And their parents would probably opt in for it. But then I think we're back to the same problem of, if we did that, we wouldn't even allow a personal account. Like, if we put the management license,
mm-hmm.
there will be no guest account and no personal account.
Yeah.
And then we're back to the same issue. I still don't know why the kid's parent can't email them at their school email. I just don't get this at all. But
well,
whatever.
Have you guys thought about maybe getting away from the BYOD and just doing the school providing? So here's what we do. We give our students a Chromebook in fifth grade, and then when they graduate in eighth grade, they get to keep it, and we remove the management license from it.
Well, if we just bought the management license, it's the same, I think. It's the same outcome. But my point is, what if we buy the Chromebooks, give them to the students with the management license, and then we're still asked to loosen all the restrictions?
Oh, no.
This is what I keep running into. Every time we tie it down, there's pushback. So I'm just sitting there, like, that part of the equation just is not satisfactory.
Yeah.
And then other things, too, like video editing still isn't as good, even with WeVideo.
Yeah.
The STEM tools, like, for 3D printers and stuff, still not as good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can't use, like, microscopes. You know, they can't really connect.
Yeah, the USB.
They can, but it's just the performance isn't there. It's not the connection.
Yep.
They can do that. It's just the performance, you know, it's not there. I mean, come on, a Chromebook is not even close to as good as, like, a base level, like, Windows machine.
Oh, no.
With Windows 10 Pro or, you know, a base level Apple. They're not similar.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to think, maybe the kids start the BYOD Chromebook actually in grade 4. And they use it in grade 4. They bridge over. Our middle school starts in grade 5. It's a little strange.
Yeah.
They do grade 4. They do grade 5. In grade 6, they still have the Chromebook, but in the spring of grade 6, they transition out of that going, so they can use it all through grade 6, or they can opt in to bring something else. And when they start grade 7, they have, you know, Mac or Windows. So we're dealing with, like,
okay,
the younger students who don't have their technology in their hands as much. And I think the younger they are, the fewer issues we'll have on the pushback. So we do, like, grade 4, 5, and 6, add the management license, as you kind of said. Like, they buy it, but we control it.
Yep.
But then once they get into the fall or the spring of grade six, at you know the second semester of grade six, maybe we pull that license and it becomes free, and that way we've got more licenses available for the upcoming kids, and maybe the grade three kids can buy their Chromebooks and get ready in the spring of grade three, that second semester, and we just keep rotating the licenses like that.
I gotta stop you. Google doesn't let you rotate the management license.
That's not true. We figured out how to do it.
How? I thought you couldn't do it. I thought it was once you put it on a machine, it was on that machine, and you couldn't transfer it.
We figured it out last year. They make it really difficult. I will get you the instructions from the guy that I work with who does it. He figured it out because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And I went through it with him. I'm like, think about it. Like, if we buy equipment and the equipment breaks and we have to get it replaced, they have to have a way to do it. So he did figure out how to release it. It's annoying, but it can be done.
Okay. Yeah. Send me those instructions because I was under the because when I was looking, when we were looking to go into Chromebooks, every vendor I talked to, they're like, it's annoying, but once that license is tied with that device, that's it. You can't reuse it. Like if you buy a new Chromebook, you have to get another new license with it.
Right. So it, like I said, from what I understand, it's an annoying process, but it does technically work. Okay. So I'll document and get that to you and get it out there.
Yeah.
And then good. Once we do that, Google will probably shut it down and it won't work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. That is a bit of a thing. Well, so we get some pushback that the Chromebooks don't, because they had iPads before. Our middle schoolers had iPads, one-to-one iPads. And the iPads, for all their faults, they're very powerful. They just perform very well for a long period of time. The only real issues we had was broken screens and battery failures. But with the Chromebooks, we've had some parents and some students who have like, you know what, it just isn't as fast as I need it to be or this. And our pushback, our answer to that is, well, it's fast enough. It's fast enough to do Google Classroom. It's fast enough to do Gmail. It's fast enough to do Google Docs and Google Sheets. And that's really where you're spending the majority of your time. And we're not going to get you a more powerful machine just for these niche activities that you might be, or hobbies that you might be interested in. So that's kind of how we do it. It doesn't please people usually, but I think our parents like the fact that kids can't put their personal Gmail on there. I think parents overall, not all of our parents, but overall like the fact that we are able to lock it down to a pretty good degree. We had trouble locking down the iPads, even with FileWave. We kids were always find ways around it, and they would be able to put, they found ways to put their own apps on there, and they found ways to put on their own chat clients and stuff. And so there were all sorts of holes with the iPads, but with this we were able to lock it down. And with GoGuardian, we're even to get even more transparency into what they're doing and how they're using their device. So, which has come in handy in a few times, you know, whenever we've had to call a parent or whatever. But yeah. But I see your dilemma now, there. That's tough.
I think it might be possible for us to like thrive in an iPad scenario, but we definitely would have to supply the iPads, and we would have to probably charge some kind of like technology fee to make that work.
That's what we do. $50 a year. Yeah.
But if we ran some type of like iPad program that we managed, I do think that could be better. But then there's all these people who believe they're going to do all this typing. And they're like, we have to have keyboards. And then they never use the keyboard on the iPad. Like they might use the iPad keyboard, but they never use the external keyboard.
Yeah. Or they'll use the external keyboard for like 2 weeks out of the entire year, but they have to have them for that 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just need to revisit, but I'll make a note to get you those instructions and you can try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give it a go.
And see if it works.
Another thing we didn't like about the iPads is that we can't repair them. We can't repair the iPads.
It's hard. Yeah,
it's really hard. It's very hard. I mean, we have a heat gun, and it's very, very difficult. And then even if we were able to say replace the screen, it would take a while. Like, you know, it takes us 10 minutes to replace a Chromebook screen, and that is if we're taking our time. We can replace a keyboard, we can replace the trackpad, we can replace the battery, we can replace almost every part of all of our Chromebooks, and we can do it all in-house, and we can do it within very quick and get that machine back into the hands of the students. Whereas the iPads, we had to send them out to someplace. Even though it was local, it was still usually a week and a half turnaround time. So
right.
I don't know. I like the, I'm still a fan of the Chromebooks. I think they're easier to manage and easier to repair and deal with. And they got that keyboard, you know,
kids want
the keyboard. Yeah. So, but all right. Okay, Tony, let's talk about Windows 10.
All right. I've spent the whole, you asked me what I was doing. Like last week, we're continuing to build out our 22 new classrooms, and we installed the screen mirroring technology last week. And we have a few teachers that use Windows 10. Most of them are on Apple. And every single person with Windows, it was like four people, every single one of them is like 90% of our workload. I'm not kidding. So 22 classrooms, these four Windows users are it. Like that's all of our time goes into helping them back into their rooms, sitting with them. Like it's just nonstop, like stuff popping up and everyone's like, just make a better profile. It's like, you know, try to control Teams launching with the profile. Good luck, and try to stop it every time Windows updates. Like we don't use Microsoft Teams. It auto starts, detects their email address and our domain because we do have an Office 365 license. Logs them in. They all think they have Teams. They do, but we don't use it. No matter how many times we kill it, within a month, OneDrive just comes back. Hey, log into OneDrive. Oh. We haven't used OneDrive apparently since 2018. And you're just like, every time you're in their room and you're restarting, it's like Windows needs to restart. And it's like you restart it and it's like installing an update.
Yeah.
And you need it to restart in like a minute. And then after it does restart, they have to log in. I have no idea why the login takes so much. I understand why. Okay. I understand technically why, but at this stage in life, why do the logins still take as long as they do? And everyone's like, oh, you need a fast. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like we have a very light, very, very light Windows implementation. The login should be fast. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it just logs in, but you still can't do anything. The screen's got to load. And then all of a sudden, everything starts popping up. And then, you know, Microsoft just wants you to know, Patrick, that even though you've chosen Chrome, you might want to use Edge. And yeah. Then it's Miracast. Like that's the like kind of Apple TV version for Windows.
Yeah, yeah.
With our devices at school support Miracast. It's turned on. The Windows computers will connect to it and be perfectly fine for 2 or 3 days. And then one day, it just will not hold the signal anymore. Oh. It just drops it.
Wow.
There's no information. There's just like, we have no idea why. We reset the devices, reset the Miracast, restart the computer, and then maybe it will work. Maybe it won't. We have screens, like a teacher will use a screen and they can see it in the Miracast every single day. And then it'll just disappear. Like it's not even on the network anymore. It's really strange. It's so frustrating. Like, if they can't get Miracast right, they could license Chromecast, or you can license AirPlay. Like Apple's licensing it out to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, oh, buy the Miracast receiver and put it on the screen. It's like, what? I'm not buying another piece of hardware. So Yeah, like Windows 10 is a great operating system. I am using it right now. I really like it. Everything works on it, like software, like whatever. You can configure it to do all kinds of stuff for home use. It's great. But I don't get it. Like, it's could be the best option, especially like with companies like Dell. If you reach out to them as a school and like have them set up like a little portal for you, which I'll get into in a couple of weeks because we've been working with them. There's all kinds of good deals you can get with Windows. It would be great. But then you run into all of these problems just nonstop. You put like malware bytes on it and you need to run Windows Defender, you know, just to cover your bases. I was reading this blurb. It's like, malware bytes is good, but just to cover your bases, you should also turn on Windows Defender.
just to be safe.
Just to be safe. And then you're like, what? What does that mean? I'm going to have to. So what that means is every time you install software, you have to approve it to do all this stuff in the firewall built into Windows.
Yep.
And it's fine for home use. It's not a big deal, but I'm telling you, it's crazy. 22 teachers and 4 of them are most of the work. And one of them has a Surface, and it's like even like I like the Surface, but in this case, it's even more difficult because the Surface, like when you open it up, instead of detecting displays properly, it's like, hey, you can make a choice. Here are 44 different resolutions you can use. And it's mostly like the same resolution with different frequencies.
Yeah.
And people are like, which one am I supposed to choose? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it should just say like, you know, smart board.
And you just select it and
built-in
it
screen.
Auto configures.
Yeah. So that's just kind of my rant. I'm like, just could be the easiest thing in the world. And you know, people will be like, well, use Windows Go or Windows S.
Oh no. Oh,
those don't do anything, right? I've never used them.
All the Windows S is S for safety or security. So the only software you can install is from the Microsoft Store.
Great.
It won't, there is no, like if you want Photoshop, no, you can't put Photoshop on that, but you can, it was such a turd that Microsoft said, because you could buy like a Dell computer with Windows S, Windows 10 S, but it was that was it. That's all you had was Windows 10 S. So they eventually with an update, they're like, okay, you can turn the S portion off if you need to. Because people were buying computers and then they would try to install something like Malwarebytes or whatever that may not be on. I don't know if Malwarebytes is on the Microsoft Store or not.
Oh, check this out. You'll love this. Then we can move on.
Yeah.
Malwarebytes will not run on any Surface that has an ARM processor.
Oh, so that's the Windows 10X, the Surface Pro X, that thing.
Yeah. And, so yeah, you can get a Windows computer and think you're getting a good deal. It can be running an ARM processor, and then you're in for a lot of fun because everything just thinks it's a phone. But just frustrating. And I'm not trying to exaggerate the problem. I'm being very honest. Four people are most of the work. The other 18 are basically like, oh yeah, we can AirPlay, we're good to go.
No,
we don't even hear from them.
We have one teacher on staff with a Windows device, and everybody else has a Mac, and he has a Surface because he teaches math, and he wants to make videos where he's drawing on his device, and obviously the MacBook Air we give our teachers, that's impossible unless you have a tablet. And anyway, so he's got a Surface device. Yeah, and he just couldn't print the other day. It said everything was fine. It would send his job, but it would never reach our print server. It would just disappear. It would go nowhere. We had no idea what was going on with it. But it's like we don't know. We're just like, I'm sorry, man. You got to leave this with us for a hot minute so we can do some tests and stuff. But yeah, it just decided it wasn't going to print anymore.
What the weirdest thing is? So these screens we're using also have Chromecast. So the app, if you're on Apple and you open Chrome and you Chromecast, it's very stable, shows all the screens. If you're on your Chromebook or on your phone, Chromecast works flawlessly. I actually really like Chromecast. I'm becoming more and more of a fan because it's super easy just to cast a tab. And what's, most teachers can just cast a tab and then they don't show their whole desktop, so it's way better for privacy.
Yep.
Windows 10, good luck. Like, I pull up Chromecast and it will literally show me maybe a quarter of the available screens, like within the network. And I'm like, why?
Why?
Like it doesn't make any sense.
It does not. No.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Hopefully Windows 11 fixes a bunch of this stuff.
No, I don't think it will.
I doubt it will either, but hopefully it does. But I don't know.
All
right. Oh, man. Windows 10. I agree with you, Tony, wholeheartedly. I think it's a good operating system. It rarely crashes on me, but the problems, the updates that fail, the updates that break things, the update, you know. Anyway, what I really want to know is what would Kevin Sorbo do about Windows 10?
Well, I'll tell you how it's going in my second job at the dystopian school. So we are starting to get really annoyed with just people in general because that's how it is. And we want everything to be a learning experience, and we also want to create a sense of urgency and emergency. So we've decided that Linux will be the only operating system that can be used. And the way this will work is there will be like a room full of a bunch of different types of laptops. It's kind of like the Hunger Games where there's like all those weapons and you can choose like food or spear.
Yeah.
So there'll be like all these different kind of laptops. Like maybe there's an Alienware, which if you try to install Linux on an Alienware, you better be good at what you're doing. Maybe it'll just be a basic Dell, you know, which Linux would install on very easily.
Like a Dell Latitude.
Laptops.
Yeah.
We will make sure the power cord is paired with the correct laptop. I was thinking about mixing those up too, but it's just too much.
Well, you know, you might not have to. A lot of laptops now are USB-C. They're ditching the proprietary things, so
and they just share. Yeah,
they just share. So
then there'll also be like a bunch of USBs everywhere, and each one will be a different color, and each one will have a different kind of Linux. So you can choose your Linux, and if you want to participate in school or get paid as an employee, you have to be able to take your laptop and install Linux. Or you can get by, like if you're like the type of person that's more like a Chromebook user, you can just run Linux right off the USB. You don't ever have to install it.
Yep.
So you have
yep.
those options. But that's how it's going to be. Like that's our device plan. You go into a big room, you get some kind of equipment you're not really sure about. You grab your favorite kind of Linux based on the color of it and maybe the name. And then
Mint will be very popular.
Or you can't get paid, and you can't learn.
All right, I got some questions.
That's where we're at.
I want to know about the process a little bit more about the process. So so let's say you're going to have a room with all this stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's probably. I think it's going to be more. I mean, it's going to be pretty big, right? Because
it's got to be
big. Students and teachers. It's going to be more like a gym.
Okay, so it's going to be the gym. So. For teachers, are you just going to, and gyms have multiple entrances and exits. So are you going to have like, they're like, here, take a color. Oh, you're blue. So you're going to be the northeast exit and northeast entrance. So you got red. So you're at the southwest. And are you going to have that? And then you're just going to like have a bell ring and then everything opens and then they just rush in and grab whatever they want.
I'm thinking that like, obviously we won't mix teachers and students and we'll separate things by grade level, you know, when the kids go in.
Yeah.
But so we'll have like four doors and we'll just separate people, you know, into like 25% here or whatever. And then there'll be a blinding floodlight shooting through each doorway. So nobody can see anything.
Yeah.
And then the floodlights will go off and the gym lights will come on and then that's it. And then, you just go for it.
I like it. I like it. So,
yeah.
And then it's kind of like what happens in the gym stays in the gym. So if like somebody punches you and takes your laptop, well, there's not this tough, right? You just, you got to go find, you got to go find somebody
and,
or punch
and
that person.
If you want
back.
Help, your only option is to contact Microsoft support, which because when
it doesn't work, it doesn't
people
work.
People may not know this has Linux built into it now.
Yes.
you can install it and run it headless, so no GUI interface, but you can actually run Linux with your Windows 10. So you can call Microsoft support. That'll be your only option. That's not really a good idea, but you can work together collaboratively. So you could, you know, you can work as a team. No one's allowed. It's not really like the Hunger Games. If you're sitting there on the floor working with people, no one's allowed to throw laptops at you or in any way attack you.
And
it's like a full PD day. Like, it's not going to be like an hour. Like, you'll have a day.
Yeah, and there are enough devices for everybody. It's not as if, oh my gosh, what? There's nothing left.
There's going to be there'll be devices for everybody plus like 20%.
All right, perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
so good. So yeah, like, it's going to be fair, but
yeah.
So anyway, that's where we're going. I'll let you know how it goes.
I like it. I like it. You know, I like it. I think it's pretty good. So if you're like, hey, okay, everybody, what are you going to call this? We have to have a name for this selection process.
Let's see. We could call it like,
How about this? How about,
what's Matt talking about?
How about that? I had to use it. It doesn't really fit, but it does need a name. We need a name for it. We need a name for it.
Let's see. Trying to think, like, what are some catchphrases right now? People like onboarding.
Ooh, onboarding. Yeah.
Yeah, but onboarding just sounds too nice.
Could it be unboxing? Or is everything going to be in a box? Are these new? These are new devices. I'm
guessing.
Yeah,
they're new. They're not used. So, yeah, you get a new computer. Yeah.
Unboxing.
That's going to happen.
This could be the unboxing. That's possible.
It could be unboxing, and the logo could be like boxing gloves.
I like it. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So people are like, okay.
Yeah.
Why are there what is this violent?
Maybe. I would get there early. I would be one of the first people in line.
Yeah. Well, and bring sunglasses, because the light will be very blinding.
Yeah.
So if you're right there in the light, you need to kind of have those glasses on and be looking at the floor and just kind of sense when it goes off. And don't stand there too long, because like your face will, I guess your face could turn red from the heat of the light. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I like this is a good idea. This is nice. I think this is it's good.
I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. I can't wait. I think I'm really excited that Kevin Sorbo approves of the strategy too. I think that's encouraging that you have support from administration.
Yeah, he's on board.
That's completely awesome. Of course. All right. Well, that's it. That's all we've got on our agenda. I don't think I have anything else. Do you have anything else, Tony? You got anything else you want to talk about?
Oh no, that's it.
All right. Yeah. That's pretty good then. I'll do once more here. One more.
What's Matt talking about?
There we go. That's it. just close the show on that one. And anyway, but so for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there. We'll find you on the next episode next week.
What's Matt talking about?
Ha 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 ha.